You've been through pre-Cana. Maybe you've even said I do. And now what? Welcome to After Cana, a podcast for young couples looking to make it until death do they part. In each episode, we'll share sage wisdom and practical advice from couples who have been married for 20 plus years. Today we bring to you a special in-person sit-down interview with the Meyer family. Rich and Ann Meyer have been married for 28 years, and I'm so excited to dive into the nuances of their marriage and the generous advice that they've given for dating and engaged couples. Let's dive in. Rich and Ann Meyer, thank you so much for talking with us today. Do you both mind giving us a general introduction? So a little bit about your background.
Sure.
And then how you both met.
Well, my background is I'm the youngest of five children. I grew up in Illinois and went to school at the University of Illinois. I studied physical therapy. And while I was there, I got involved with the Newman Center at the Catholic Chapel there and made a few retreats. So it was on one of those retreats where I met Rich.
Wow.
Yep. That's the long and the short of it. Again, I'm, you know, Rich. I was born and raised in the greater Chicagoland area. Sort of public school kid my whole life. I have a younger sister, my father, who passed away about 10 years ago or so. My mom still is out in the suburbs, but I met Ann as she had mentioned, and we got married shortly out of college. I did sales for a couple of years. I worked at a place called Midtown Center in Chicago as a volunteer for a year, and then wound up through a series of circumstances, wound up going back to grad school, and wound up teaching, taught high school English and Spanish for many years. We lived abroad for a brief period of time, and then taught in the suburbs of Chicago for about 7-8 years, and then wound up running a all-boys school in Chicago for about 6 years before moving out here to California in 2012.
Oh my goodness. So a lot of education. I'm very excited to go into that.
All over the place. All over the place. Both professionally and in our home with our 8 children.
Yes.
Who our oldest is 27 and our little caboose guy is 9 and the other 6 are stair stepped in between.
Yep.
Great. So how long did you date for?
It's an interesting story. We met on a Tuesday and we were married on a Friday, which was totally nuts. You don't hear that story very often, Omega. Okay, no. It was an arranged marriage. It happened very fast. Right.
So we met, what year do we meet? 1992? Mm-hmm. We started dating in 93 and we got engaged in 95. So we dated about a year and a half.
Okay.
And then we got married about a year and a half after that.
I remember when I first met Anne, one of the many things that did attract me and continue to attract me to my wife was that she was from a bigger family. So again, I went to public school growing up. I would say I grew up maybe more culturally Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I would say that I went to college and got involved with the Newman Center at the University of Illinois where I would say maybe my faith came alive and became my own.
Mm.
And so I didn't really grow up with a lot of any really contact with larger families. And I remember meeting Anne, and Anne was the youngest of 5. And I remember going over to her house for the first time shortly after we met, and in Peoria, which is about an hour and a half from U of I's campus, and met her brothers and her sisters, and there were multiple conversations to be a part of. And I just thought, wow, this is such a paradigm shift for me in terms of what family culture was or is. And not that I knew at that moment I was going to marry Anne necessarily, but I thought, wow, this was something that was just inherently attractive, right? There's something inherently attractive to a family, right? A big family with a whole lot of social dynamic to it.
Yeah, I would say in terms of the question about dating and what that looked like, I think Rich and I, when we started dating pretty fast and furiously. We spent a lot of time together at the very beginning. We have fond memories of Rich even coming to some of my classes with me in college, in which he was not enrolled in the class, and he would come and sit next to me and hold my hand. And so we spent a lot of time together that first 6 months while we were together at U of I.
Biochem 350.
Biochem
350. I mean, the whole class might have all been in total Greek to me as a liberal arts major, while Anne took notes, and you know, she's a lefty and I'm a righty, so I could hold her right hand while she would take notes with her left hand. And I had no idea what was going on. But
it's just so fun at the beginning, right? Because yes. It's so exciting, and you're getting to know everything about each other, and you're having all these conversations and asking all these questions, meeting one another's families, and we had a mutual friend group, so that was really fun. We had lots of time, just the two of us and with friends. And then at the end of the summer, after we had dated about 6 months, I transferred up to the University of Illinois at Chicago to study physical therapy. So that was hard because we were long distance. We'd only been dating 6 months, and we were long distance then for another 9 months or so after that. Wow. So that I remember being a really challenging phase of our relationship as we learned to kind of navigate that. He was still with all of our friends, and I was off starting a new thing, and we still had to make long distance phone calls, which cost money.
Oh my goodness.
So, but we wrote lots of letters. We have lots of letters that we wrote back and forth. And so anyway, eventually Rich moved back up to Chicago, and we got to spend more time together again.
Wow.
And
did you feel like in that period of time leading up to your departure, is that kind of why you were trying to spend as much time as you could together to see like, oh, if we're going to do this long distance, like I need to know if like it's...
Yeah, I don't think there was, Emily, I don't think there was that much intentionality going on there, if I'm being totally honest.
I think
with
it was
you.
Just we wanted to be together.
I think that's probably more accurate. I don't think we're thinking 3, 6, 9 months down the road. In fact, I mean, even Emily, even things, for example, podcasts like we're doing today. I mean,
right.
we didn't have access to these kinds of things in terms of formation, in terms of, you know, benefiting from maybe the wisdom of folks who've gone before us. I mean, certainly we had our relationships and our parents, and and those were important examples for us. But I would be a little disingenuous if I said there was anything other than just kind of rolling with the times and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, in the weeks as they went by and making decisions as they happened. So,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so then after he moved back, did he propose? Or what was the...
It was about a year.
Yeah, so I worked at... So Anne was living... Anne was doing physical therapy school for that final year, and I was doing volunteer work in the city for a year.
Okay.
And at the... Well, it was
November.
Yes,
yeah.
It was November 18th, 1994. Yeah. It's a good date. It's a good date to remember the day you asked your wife to marry you.
Yeah, he always.
So November 18th, 1994. It was the day I asked her to marry me, and so yeah, it was probably about 5 months into this one year volunteer experience, and we had been thinking that we would have a really nice, relatively short turnaround on the engagement side, get married the following fall. Be engaged for 9 months or so, and darn it if Anne's older brother didn't snake me, and it was a week or two prior to me asking Anne to marry me, he asked his girlfriend to marry him, and then they set the date to get married in September, and I thought we should get married in October, and Anne's mom, who I love dearly, thought it wasn't a very good idea to have two of her children married off back-to-back months,
mm-hmm.
So we had to push our wedding 6 months further down the road in April of 96.
It was a tough sacrifice for relationship with his mother-in-law.
That wasn't great. I mean, so yeah, you're not asking for advice necessarily straight up, but I would say, yeah, don't do year and a half engagements. I mean, it was year and a half. I mean, once you know,
correct.
And even the wisdom of the church isn't to spend, you know, many months being engaged. So, I think somewhere in probably the 6 to 9 month range or year range is a good window. Going out a year and a half was, It was a little tough. But as my mother-in-law often likes to remind me, boy, it was a beautiful day to get married.
Yeah, so wasn't April's it rich?
April was such
month.
A beautiful month. I just, I smile and I say, yes, Mom, it was a beautiful month. And you look, God's hands behind everything.
Yeah.
You know, we have the family that we were blessed with because we got married in the month that we got married in at the time
no
we
regrets.
Did. So wow. all worked out great.
Oh, lovely.
So far.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. There's so much to unpack. Could you share a little bit about both of your personalities and how they have worked kind of like complementary, or are they very similar?
We're like two peas in a pod. The two of us here, we're, yeah, I mean, you'll see as we unpack our conversation, our lives. I mean, we're just two type A, extroverted.
There's a lot of sarcasm in what Rich is saying right now. No, we are exceedingly complementary in our personalities. Mm. I'm very quiet. Rich is very outgoing. Rich is very spontaneous. I'm very measured.
What did you say the other day? We were having I remember what the context was. We were having a conversation and said something like, well, yeah, you're good at leadership. And
I'm good at fellowship.
Yeah. It's like, it's a good match, right? It's a good match.
Yeah.
Leadership and fellowship. But
yeah, we definitely, I think if I had to pinpoint one thing that makes our relationship strong, I would say it's our complementary strengths and weaknesses. Because I think we both bring something unique to the table that the other one doesn't have. And so I think as a couple, we really benefit from that. And I think our family life really benefits from that because they just get a more well-rounded experience, I think, because we're...
Yeah, and you see it in our children, too. I see the mix of personalities, and, and I'm sure it's common in you know, families of all sizes. But it's, yeah, you see a number of our kids having a little bit more of a, maybe a phlegmatic nature, like Anne, and some of our kids are a lot more choleric, like I am. And so, you know, for the kids, they have different role models, if you will, or parents that they can, they can benefit from those strengths or dynamics. I think that that make for at least an interesting family culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's also really interesting because I feel like in today's day and age, friends of mine who are dating, they seem to love when they can find similarities. And it is really interesting because sometimes when people are very different, they have to learn new skills on how to communicate because those differences are not natural. A lot of people see that as like a red flag, like, oh, it's just too hard. We're not the same. We don't think the same. Mm-hmm. Like, were there moments early on in your marriage where you had to learn something different about someone who thinks completely different than you do? And what did that look like?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
I guess I don't look back. I don't look back. You know, and maybe the early parts of our marriage and thinking about, boy, those were really challenging years in terms of communication and getting to know each other and getting to kind of work together. And partly maybe it was Emily, too, was getting married young. Mm. So, you know, when we got married, I was 22, Anne was 24. And, you know, and some people could say that's hard. You know, you're starting out, you're young, you don't have a lot of resources at your disposal to start a marriage. And some of those things are true. But I think one of the benefits was because we were young, we also have grown up together. And not grown up together since we were 6 or 7 in that sense. But I think we've matured into adulthood as one. And that's in some ways, I think, made things a lot easier. And that's certainly not to say that people don't come to marriages at all different phases of life. That certainly happens, and you know, God's got a unique plan for people along the way. But I think in some ways it's a bit of a benefit to marry as young as we did, being intentional about it. Mm-hmm. And certainly we have a lot of differences in terms of our personality traits and characteristics, but being aligned on certain dimensions of one's worldview in certain areas, I think is fundamentally important. Mm-hmm. So one can be extroverted, one can be introverted. One can struggle with patience and the other could have the patience of a saint. You can have these polar opposites and extremes, I think, in personality type. And God can make use of that and work through that. But I think having fundamental fundamentally opposed differences of opinion with respect to, you know, how are we going to approach faith and our own personal relationship and our relationship mm-hmm. as a married couple? Mm-hmm. What does this look like with our children? What are the, you know, let's talk about how are we going to educate and school our children, mm-hmm. right? What do faith practices look like in the home? What's the size of our family going to look like? All of these things mm-hmm. to be at coming from very different places, I think, can make a really challenging
yeah.
place.
Yeah, so I would say we're very aligned on all of those aspects. And we do certainly have a lot of similar interests in terms of we both love music, we both love theater, there are certain things we really enjoy doing together. And then we have other things that he would say he's a huge sports fan. I have almost zero interest in sports. I love being out in nature.
You like
and
documentaries.
I love science. I like documentaries, which has no interest in those. So, I mean, I think it's healthy to have separate interests, but also common interests. And I will say, in terms of differences and working with differences, I think it definitely has, I mean, every marriage is going to have challenges mm-hmm. that they have to work through. And I think some of our, I would say some of our biggest challenges probably have been working with some of those personality differences, but also I would say like sex differences too. Mm-hmm. For instance, in parenting approach and things like mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we just butt heads. I'm very cautious. Mm-hmm. I want everything to be safe. Rich wants to challenge the children and grow their bravado. and yeah, there are moments where we disagree and it's difficult, but that I think that anytime you encounter conflict, it helps you to communicate better, grow in respect for one another, understand that this is a completely different person mm-hmm. with their own viewpoint, their own attitudes, their own ideas that they're coming to the situation with. And we have to just grow in respect for one another and learn how to communicate that in a healthy way. And I will say, you know, we haven't always been 100% successful with that, but
here we
after,
are.
But I mean, after 28 years, we know ourselves and one another a lot better.
Are there any moments that you can think about, or was it kind of just like an overtime?
I think it was a lot of learning from mistakes, to be honest. From my standpoint, like things just, maybe things didn't go well mm-hmm. in a certain situation, and then you have to look back on it after things have kind of calmed down and then say, okay, what was really going on here? Mm-hmm. You know, why was this so difficult for both of us? Mm-hmm. And how can we try to prevent that from happening in the future? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel you're pretty good with conflict. I think I'm less good with conflict. Right? So, I mean, when I think about our moments of conflict, I think sometimes I'm the origin source, or I'm the source of our conflict. I could handle some of the situations that repeat themselves over and over and over again. You know, you mentioned, hon, our approach toward child rearing, and I'm wiring for daring acts of bravado, and you're wired for keeping the children alive, as an example. driving. Again, these are stereotypical yeah. things, yeah. but they exist in our marriage.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's better for our marriage if Anne drives and doesn't have me driving. And every once in a while, I find myself still in the driver's seat
and my knuckles are white.
This stuff happens, and maybe as it happens, or this happens even with frequency. Mm-hmm. I could imagine if you're newly married and you're going through and you have that first big fight or that big moment of conflict mm-hmm. and it shakes you a bit, right? Mm-hmm. Because here was this experience where it's just been joy and rainbows and butterflies and violins playing in the background, and now all of a sudden, while I'm married and or I'm even dating in a serious relationship, and now there's these moments of conflict or important conflict or big conflict, and it can make you wonder, mm-hmm. oh, maybe this... Maybe this isn't right. And it's a real blessing to be in a relationship or be married, you know, as long as we have. Because when these things come up, mm-hmm. and they still come up from time to time, it never shakes or erodes one's confidence in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a beautiful place to be, to get there and know that, okay, like, all right, I don't know how this is going to resolve, but it's going to resolve somehow because we always find a way to resolve things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and right. You feel secure in your love for one another. You recognize that it's really just, it's just a lack of good communication, a lack of understanding of the other person, where they're mm-hmm. coming from, and why they're getting so passionate about something that you are completely mm-hmm. clueless about, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, I know we talked about how our differences in personality have led to conflict, but I would say overall our complementarity and personalities have led to a lot of joy.
Success.
A lot of success. And even just allowed us to really enjoy being around each other. I mean, Rich mm-hmm. is very lighthearted, mm-hmm. upbeat, and that's helpful for me because I can be a little more melancholic. So he just provides that fun factor, the lightness to mm-hmm. our relationship and our and to me that is really an improvement for me and I tend to be a little bit more serious and quiet, and so I can kind of provide that grounding for Rich, and he's very outgoing and extroverted. He has a job that's involves working with a lot of people, so I think it's nice for Rich to be able to come home and just kind of chill out and not have to be super excited and on, and you know, it's just we're like a safe haven for one another. So
high five.
That's so beautiful.
So anyway, so I think haven. the differences are for us a huge bonus and an occasional conflict, but every marriage has mm-hmm. moments of conflict. I feel like we argue very little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had a chance to spend 5 or 6 days in Rome, connected with something I was doing with my work. And just to provide a little bit of context, we were in a group setting with probably maybe 8 or 9 other couples who were from all different parts of the world. And one of the couples was a young couple that had just gotten married a couple of days earlier.
Wow.
They were from Argentina. And they had a chance to go have an audience, a brief but a private audience with Pope Francis. And so they're sharing with the group, we're having a conversation, and they shared, oh, we had a chance to meet Pope Francis, and oh my gosh, how'd it go? And well, he gave us some advice as newlyweds, and oh, what was the advice? And you know, the conversation was in Spanish, but as they sort of translated what his advice, the Pope Francis's advice was to a young couple, their question to him was, what should we do so that we can be happily married 50 years from now? And his advice was very simple. He said, you know, you need to fight and make up every day. And it was interesting because I think what was being emphasized wasn't you need, because it's a common advice is don't let the sun set on your anger.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to bed angry with each other, which I'm sure was implied in there in some way, shape, or form. But I think what he was really getting at with his advice was that the fighting is important,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The meaning just, you got to put it out there. You have to let people know when you have disagreements or there is conflict or like that fighting or that disagreement, if you will, helps to strengthen the relationship. And sometimes a disagreement leads to hurt feelings or what have you. Okay, then apologize, learn from the mistakes, and then move forward. But don't let that ever put a stop to hashing things out,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah.
I love that. Go Pope Francis. That's
yeah, yeah.
So much wisdom.
Hay que pelearse y reconciliarse todos los días, was his phrase, yeah, which is really pretty.
Yeah.
I've definitely been in conversations where people have talked about conflict resolution, and I feel like we know that, you know, perseverance and fortitude is a virtue, right? To be able to work through things. And I guess a question to explore is, in your opinion,
you know, for someone who's dating and for someone who is really trying to figure out what's healthy and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the line between, you know, we need to go to the ends of the earth to figure out our constant problem, and
sure.
like, where is it, like, how do you know when
to leave? Because I think some people too, like, can say, well, it's virtuous to stay and to fight. Mm-hmm. And it's also, you know, well, I once heard that the term quit, I think the etymology of the word is to set free. Mm-hmm. But anyway, mm-hmm. I could be wrong. But anyway, do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that has to be a judgment call that each couple makes.
Right.
But I think when you find yourselves in conflict more than you're at peace, that's probably not a great sign. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, there should be peace in your relationship in moments of conflict.
In moments of conflict.
No. Well, that's not exactly what I said. I said and moments in of conflict. But I would say that even in our moments of conflict, there's a deeper peace.
Security.
I'm not sure that we encountered as much conflict before we were married. In part because a lot of our conflict revolves around kids and we didn't have kids.
That's very true. Very true. Yeah. Well, I think what you say is right, that if... I think good relationships require work. Mm-hmm. I would say if the relationship though always feels like work, then something's probably a bit off, right? Mm-hmm. Something's a bit off. I mean, at the end of the day, you wanted more good days than bad days. And you may have moments or periods of life where you have more bad days than good days. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a dating or in a courtship process or period and you find yourself on the balance having more bad days than good days, and I'm using those terms incredibly loosely, and that's probably a sign. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. I think our Lord calls us to happiness and joy, and not in marriage. Marriage not is a pathway toward frustration, and the primary objective is to learn how to resolve conflict. Like that's not the primary objective of marriage, is to become a great conflict resolver, right? And the vehicle happens to be the sacrament of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree. I think if you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, ultimately, and I think you kind of sometimes know in your heart, sometimes it's hard to walk away, and especially if you've been dating a long time. Mm-hmm. I work in a high school setting, and when our students come back from college, or I'm even talking to parents, their kids are going off to college. You know, one thing I often like to say at that, when kids get to that age, I call it late teens, early 20s, is to say, hey, like, you need to start dating with purpose. Mm-hmm. It's time to get serious about life, and that doesn't mean that you can't go out and have fun and meet a whole bunch of people and get to know a whole bunch of different people. But you know, if you're in your 20s and you've been dating somebody for 7 years, and you're not moving towards something definitive, and I'm going to be very brash here because I don't know everyone's personal circumstances, or maybe there are people listening to this podcast that are looking and saying, uh-oh, this is making me really uncomfortable. You're driving in your car with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. You're saying, we've been dating for 7 years. Come on. But at some point, we're here to date with purpose. We're not here to just be in this perpetual landscape of dating and wondering if we should or if we shouldn't commit. When I look at a younger generation today, I think that's one of the challenges of dating, because I think there's very few signals that are put out there that it doesn't take 10 years or 8 years of dating to figure out if someone is the person for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you're wondering after 8 years or 5 years even, or what have you, then in some ways you're not being fair to one another, right? You're robbing their future time with the person they're called to be with.
Mm-hmm.
By some sort of, and not to say that it's overt selfishness, but it's probably a sense of just complacency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's easier just to be in this constant state of, I've got somebody to be with, even if I'm not sure I want to be with this person for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to let go of that. But we're not called to perpetually date. Mm-hmm. When you were asking the question initially, Emily, I also thought about, we have 8 children.
Yeah.
We have 2 girls, 2 boys, and then 3 girls and a boy. I'm very German, so our 6th daughter, no, 5th daughter, Lily?
Yes.
Yeah. Had she been a boy, we would have been 2 girls, 2 boys, 2 girls, 2 boys.
That would have been really nice.
And we still really, really love Lily very, very much. She is the child that our Lord wanted us to have for sure. Anyhow, so I digress. So we have our two oldest girls, but our third boy son is getting married in a few weeks.
Wow! And congratulations.
So that'll be our first wedding in the family.
So our first family wedding. And you asked about how do you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I was thinking about Rich, who we're incredibly delighted about the young woman he's going to be married to. She thinks she's a beautiful fit for him, and hopefully he for her. And they're going to, you know, they've got a lot of the right things in place.
Yeah.
And but in the context of your question, you know, he casually dated a few girls throughout college or even in high school, and I remember, right, some, in particular, a couple of the girls in college, you could tell that he was never himself. Mm-hmm. He always had to try to be something or have a different dimension of a character. He was always a little bit on eggshells because something always set this girlfriend off in some way, shape, or form. And I mean, off and going ballistic, but just it meant to moments of conflict. So there was, mm-hmm. You could just tell, like, there was never with some of his, a couple of prior girlfriends prior to his fiance, is that they're just, you could tell, like, he wasn't able to be fully himself, right? And that's, I think, another indication that maybe it's just not, it might not be the right fit if you just can't be you,
right?
If I'm always incredibly measured in my speech or in what I say or what I do, or I don't want to tell my girlfriend that I'm going to do X with my friends on the weekend because she's going to get frustrated, or vice versa. And it's like, that's an indication, right? That's something maybe just a little bit off too, right? And you want to be fully you.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of After Cana. If you enjoyed listening, share it with a friend and stay tuned for part 2 of the Meyer family interview.